welcome to Al Berman, live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. This is episode 43, and oh my gee, it has been so long between podcasts. It's been almost 2 months, and also, I think November 1st was a year that I did the first one, so I'm kind of, you know, wanting to do them about once a week, so I was under about, I don't know, I guess 10 podcasts, but I what happened was, you know, I had my surgery, and, my hip surgery, my right hip, I have to get my left hip done in a few months, and, I didn't realize it was going to be this long between podcasts. I probably could have done it a little bit sooner, but I got a little OCD because I can't use this one chair that I like to use to plan my podcast. It's too low right now, and I'm not allowed to sit in low chairs until I get more healed. But so what I'm going to do is I have a lot of catching up to do on my podcast here, and so what I more than likely am going to do is I'm going to record a couple, three or so in a row, and release them all, you know, pretty much, you know, in a row like that, and not worry like I'm going to do one today, which is Sunday, November. What is it today? November 4th. And so I'm going to do that, and so maybe I'll do another one tomorrow or Tuesday, you know, comment a little bit on the election. You know, I just want to catch up because I don't want to do one big long one because the consensus from my hardcore fans is that they like them around 25 minutes. It's good for train rides. It's good for Stairmasters. It's good for staring into space. And it's good for mastering your space. So, what's going on? I'm gonna catch you up here on the surgery tip that the hip hop kids talk about. So basically, on September 14th, wow, September 14th, it's amazing how quickly time goes by. You know, I mean, I'm just blown away. But September 14th. 2012 was the day of my surgery. And so let me just, let's back up here. The day before, September 13th, I got a couple of calls from the hospital that I was, that I had my surgery in. First I got a call from some nurse. And she was giving me all the, you know, the do's and don'ts. And they make you so paranoid. And I'm going to get into this even more later on. I don't know if I'll do it in this podcast, but you know, the paranoia that is involved in this process is astounding. You know, you're always afraid you're going to do something wrong and you're going to screw everything up. And so she, you know, was telling me all these things. The main thing was before the surgery is that since I was going to go in at around 7 a.m. and I had to be there at 6 a.m., they said no eating or drinking after midnight. Okay, fine. You know, but I asked, well, what about brushing your teeth? Because, you know, after a night of not, you know, you brush your teeth at, say, midnight, and then you get up at whatever, you may want to brush your teeth again. I like my breath to be minty fresh, even when I'm being operated on. Particularly when I'm being operated on, I don't want the surgeon to go, you know what? I can't deal with it. His breath stank. He got some stanky breath. So I asked, can I brush my teeth? And she said, please brush your teeth. You know, you're not going to be swallowing the water. If a little bit trickles down your throat, trickle, it's not going to be a big deal. So I said, okay, thank you. Thank you for telling me that. And I brushed my teeth. And then I got a call from the admitting office, this girl. And this girl was just laughing up a storm. I was making her laugh like crazy. I don't know, like kind of thing, like everything I said was funny to her. You know, at one point, I told her that I was on hiatus from my work. And she just thought the word hiatus was just so funny. I'm going, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I could think of a lot more funnier words than hiatus. You know, I mean, maybe she think, does she think like unemployment is a funny word? Does she think welfare? Food stamps. You're killing me. Food stamps is so funny. Oh my God. Poverty. So, and then at one point she said, she gave me sort of like a backhanded compliment because I said, well, if you think I'm this funny, if you think I'm funny, you might want to check out my podcast. Come see me do stand-up sometime. I don't know. And she goes, well, I'm either very tired or you're funny. And I thought, that's what a weird backhanded compliment. I don't even know if that's like a compliment. First of all, I have never been so tired that I thought something was funny. Usually it's the opposite. If I'm tired, I'm irritable. Like, get away from me. I'm not like, oh, God, I'm so tired, I can't keep my eyes up. You're killing me with that. Oh, my God, look at that. So I don't know. I don't know what she was talking about. So Thursday was, that was a Thursday, the 13th, was the longest day of my life. It just went on and on and on and on. I was going to smoke a cigar that afternoon. And my sister said, maybe lay off the cigars, which I'm actually doing right now for a different reason I won't go into, doing like a kind of a two-week fast from cigars, and maybe even longer, who knows. I'm actually at day 7 right now, and if I right now I want to light this microphone and smoke it, okay? So don't get me started. So Thursday was the longest day of my life, and you know, Deb was going to pick me up. The plan was Deb, my friend and advocate, also the lady who cuts and colors my hair, the best colorist in the business, you know. And she was going to pick me up at 5 a.m. so we can get there by 6, but we're going to get there a lot earlier than that. I was staying up at that point. I was staying up till about 4 or 5 every morning. And going to bed and waking up at, you know, noon. So, but that night I didn't have anything to do. I was like, all right, got into bed and, you know, 12, toss turning, 1, tossing turning, 2, tossing turning. About 3-ish, I'm figuring, well, there's no way I'm going to sleep. And I got up and they had given me this pre-surgery soap they wanted me to use twice, once before I went to bed and once when I woke up. Some kind of thing to make you, what's the word I'm looking for here? You know the word. What's that word? Oh, you know, when there's no germs. Anyway, I used it and it was an honest kind of soap. It was in a little bottle and you couldn't get a good lather. I was like, am I doing this right? And it's putting it on me and it's not really lathering. And later on, I mentioned that to one of the nurses in the hospital, and they said, oh, yeah. And I go, well, that's nice. Maybe they should tell you that. There'll be no lathering. There'll be no lathering before this surgery. So I got up. It was probably about 3:15, 3:30. And I took the shower. And I got my, you know, I didn't have to bring. They said don't bring any valuable. So the only thing I was bringing that was valuable was myself, of course, my iPhone, my earbuds and my charger. I brought $20. Just $20 because I'm not, you know, they said don't bring any cash, but it's just like, I'm bringing $20 just as a sort of a good luck charm, okay? I'm not going walking out of here with no money, okay? I'm not bringing any credit cards, no debit cards. I'm bringing 20, okay? Just in case. Just to have. You know, and so, you know, so I was like about, I don't know, I was ready, I was good to go by about 4:15, and then I just sat here and waited for Deb, and then Deb came by, and it was so surreal. You know, there was a neighbor of mine was walking her dog in front of the building, and at 5 a.m., hi, I'm going to get my hip replaced, see you. And Deb and I, we've been been building up to this for so long, and got in her car and we went down there and went down to the hospital, got there pretty early. And, you know, it was amazing how many people were in there that day. It was like just getting ready for surgery. And so, you know, we go there, and then they call my name. I just called out my name, and you know my surgery is coming. I'll be there. So, to see you again. So then we get called, and Deb's walking with me, because Deb is my advocate. And we go up to this office where I sign papers that, you know, I don't know what I'm signing, but I'm just signing them. They just have you sign stuff. And then I sit and wait a little bit longer, and then they call me, a bunch of us, they call us all, and it's like a hotel. They got this beautiful art on the wall. You forget, you're like you're in a hospital, you're going in for surgery. And they take me into this room where they have curtained off, you know, partition curtained off little rooms there. So each one represents with a little like gurney for each person. And each gurney represents your gurney. Not each gurney represents your gurney, but you get your own gurney, because they're going to use that gurney to wheel you into the OR, which when I was at the Comedy Store was called the original room, but here it was called the operating room. And then I got to meet all, it was like all these people you meet. First I met this beautiful woman, a lot of Asians, man, a lot of beautiful Asian women. I have now, you know, I like all kinds of women. I've never been particularly somebody that's, you know, into Asian women exclusively. Like there's people that are really into, but I'm developing a fetish. I have to say, I'm getting a little Asian fetish here. And I think I got my, I'm looking for an Asian woman right now. Any Asian women out there that want to, as long as you're not married, contact me and we'll chat. But it's a beautiful girl, and she was the, what was she? She was the pre-op nurse. Took the blood pressure, you know, I had to take all my stuff off, my clothes, and get into one of those gowns, you know, where your butt is hanging out, and put it in a bag, which she later gave, on my phone, she later gave to Deb to hold. And then this other Asian nurse comes in, and she was the operating room nurse, and she informed me that she was going to inserting the catheter, which I had a big fear of for a while, the catheter going into my Johnson, but they're going to wait till you're asleep. They wait till you're asleep. And I said to her, you know what? Good luck finding that boy today, because he's going into his turtle shell. She goes, don't worry, I'll find it. She didn't say that. She didn't say that, but that was the implication. And she did, by the way. I was very impressed. And then the anesthesiologist comes by, and he's telling me my options, you know, and, you know, I opted to get the thing where they stick it in your spine, and because then you have less chance of nausea. And then my own doctor comes by, and he's a cool guy. My doctor comes by, and he, you know, we BS for a little bit, and he pinched my cheek. He did a little cheek pinch, and he's got this this saying. He's almost like a comedian. His father was a carpenter. His mother is a nurse. So he's got this saying where he goes, he measures twice, cuts once. Which I told him is like a Rodney Dangerfield line. I measure twice, I cut once. Oh, I'll tell you, it's crazy. And so he told me he was going to do that. And first he said to me, which hip are we doing? Testing me. And I go, the right one. He goes, good, good. And then as he said, I measured twice, cut once. I said it with him and we laughed. And, you know, I like this guy. He's kind of homeboyish. He's from the East Coast. Jewish guy, about the same age, and, you know, as a matter of fact, he's agreed, after the second hip is done, I heal completely, I will be interviewing him on my podcast. God, I'm already at 15 minutes here, I think, and I'm hardly covering all this. I don't know, I don't want to go past 25, 30 minutes. I may have to cover more. I was hoping I could get the whole of the surgery stuff done at once. We'll see. We'll see what happens here, folks. We'll see. And then I get wheeled into the operating room, which, you know, is just a room, you know, where they have the equipment. And then they sit me up And a couple of guys were kind of holding me. I almost did the Groucho Marx line where one guy was holding me. I said, if we're any closer, I'd be in back of you. And then I got hit with the needle, and I think I said something like, see you later, and boom, I was gone. And the next thing I know, is I'm in this large area, which is called as the recovery room, and I'm with a nurse who was kind of terse. She was a terse nurse, and most of the nurses there were pretty cool, but she was kind of terse. I was like, because I'm kind of groggy, and I'm saying stuff to her, and she's being a little bit like giving me attitude. And I don't really know, you know. And then apparently Deb came to see me for about an hour there, and I don't recall. I vaguely remember seeing Deb there. I must have been going in and out of consciousness. And then next thing I know, I'm being wheeled to what's going to be my room. And I didn't ask anybody prior to going in there whether I was going to share the room with anybody, because I just felt like, you know, I didn't want to know, because if I was, I'd be like obsessing over it, because it's just kind of weird. Like, you're in there, you're vulnerable, and then you're gonna, and I have a roommate. But it turns out in the orthopedic ward at this hospital, you get your own room. And so I was so glad I got my own room, my own bathroom, and, you know, and they wheeled me in. And then Deb comes up, and she stayed with me all day. Deb put in a good 13 hours that day. And and then like about 5 hours after surgery, they got me out of bed and had me walking with a walker to test out my new hip, and I was doing okay. Deb was very impressed. They were very impressed. And then what they do is they put you back in bed, and they basically tie you down. They put this thing between your legs called the abductor pillow, which I thought was kind of funny, because you do feel like you've been abducted, you know, because you can't go anywhere. You know, there's an alarm on the bed, because you're not supposed to do anything there. Anytime you get out of bed, somebody's supposed to be there to help you. Anytime you go walking, somebody's supposed to be with you. And they actually have an alarm on the bed, which went off once by accident when I was able to move around a little more freely. And the days that came after that. And then one time I was actually just trying to get out of bed and see, just to see if I could get out of bed and just go to the bathroom on my own. And they came in and they busted me. But, you know, so, and the one thing they don't, the one thing about the hospital is they woke me up all night long, did every couple hours or so to do something, to, like, you know, take blood. I don't know. They kept taking blood. They kept, I guess they have to keep checking your blood. And I was meeting all these nurses, a lot of Filipinas, you know, a lot of Filipinas. I'm convinced that they just go down to the Philippines and they go, listen, anybody want to work in a hospital? You want to be in, if you're a nurse or you're an aide or whatever, you're Filipino, come on. We've got a job for you. Matter of fact, I think if during the job interview they ask you, what country are you from? I'm from the Philippines. You are hired. And I got to say, some of these Filipina ladies, they were a little flirty. I didn't mind. Because I'm, you know, being a funny guy, being funny. I was, you know, especially when I'm in a situation, an unfunny situation, I could very often make it funny, because it's sort of, maybe it's a defense mechanism, or it's just a way to shed light on the darkness that is the hospital. I was making them laugh, and they were, you know, they were kind of flirting. And then there was an older man. I felt so bad for this older man next door to me. They said he only spoke Farsi, and he would just yell a lot, like, honey, honey. Pain, pain. I felt so bad. I go, oh my, you know, he must have been in a lot of pain, this poor guy. And nobody spoke Farsi. And they would go in and they go, we've given you the medication. We can't give you any more now. Honey, honey. And I asked about him. I said, what's going on? Why is he doing that? And they go, well, he only speaks Farsi, and his family, they won't get involved. I go, man, what kind of a friggin' Farsi family is this? Why don't you Farsi people come in here and translate and help this guy? But the next day, he was walking around with a walker. He's a guy who can't speak any English. He's walking, right? And he comes by and he goes past my room. He looks at my room and he goes, hey, how you doing? I swear. Hey, how you doing? How am I doing? I think this whole Farsi thing is a farce. I think a Farsi thing's a farce. The Farsi farce. The terse nurse. The Farsi farce. I might actually cover everything today that I want to cover. I want to talk about the food in the hospital. The food, I was told the food was bad. That's an understatement. The food, I couldn't believe how bad the food was. You have got to work hard to make food this bad. I mean, I do a little cooking, and I don't know if I'm, you know, the greatest cook or not, but I make some decent dishes that taste pretty good. There was only one meal, the breakfast, because it was a bagel and some lox and cream cheese and some oatmeal. I guess they couldn't mess that up, but everything else, man, I couldn't eat it. I would send it. I'd say, yeah, you know what? Get this. I refused. I'm not taking any more of your freaking food. Get your food out of here. I mean, it's just like, it's really shameful. It's almost like, you know, really, just shut down the, just say that you don't serve food if the food's going to be that bad. You know, I mean, it was horrendous. My friend Brian brought me some Chinese food. My friend Bill brought me some, asked him to bring me some trail mix and some nuts, some water. And, you know, other people offered to bring stuff. You know, so I got through it. I was there Friday, Saturday, and got released on Sunday. And they give you this bracelet. You have a bracelet that you wear all the time with a barcode. So every time they would give me medication, and they forced me to take some low-grade pain medication. I didn't have any pain at all. I was just very sore, or kind of sore. But I was, you know, miraculously, no pain on the side that I got operated on. But they forced me to take medication, which turned out, when I got the bill, I guess my insurance company is dealing with now, thousands of dollars. And we're talking about Tylenol and some low-grade pain medication. I mean, a few doses in a couple days. How they came up with that number. And then I had some physical therapy where 3 days in a row, I basically walked down the hallway with somebody for 15 minutes or so. And they charged thousands for that. I mean, the healthcare system is broken, folks. We need to do something. We need to do something about the healthcare system, don't we? Yes, we do. What else? I don't know. And then, I wonder what they do with my old hip. Do they send it? They send it to China, make it into an iPhone. Oh, I'm so crazy! You know, I think I might have covered everything I wanted to cover today regarding my hospital stay. I think the next time I do a podcast, I'll talk about the being released from the hospital and then going home, and all that's involved with that. I think that's what I'm going to do. So I think, where am I at here? I think I'm at 20 minutes, which actually turns out to be a shorter podcast than some. You know, which is fine with me because, you know, I'm trying to catch you up to speed. I'm trying to catch myself up to speed. You know, I have to admit that I actually, wait a minute, is that 10? Wait a minute, how much time have I done here? I don't know, 25. Oh, maybe it's 25. That might be 25 minutes. Yeah, I think it's 25 minutes. Oh, I don't know. Stop it. I was just going to say something. Oh, I just lost my train of thought. Oh, jeez. But I'm healing pretty well. I thought I would be further along than I am, but I'm actually healing. I'm kind of, I think, ahead of schedule. I mean, I just had in my head. I thought I'd be further along, but I'm doing decently, and so that's that, folks. So I want to thank everybody and anybody who's listening to my podcast. Oh, it's 25. Yeah, we're going on 26 minutes here. Okay, all right, enough for talking to myself. Thank you, everybody. Thanks all the people that helped me throughout this process. Obviously, Deb and her life partner, husband Rudy, my good friend Bill Walton, guardian angel, went shopping for me, food shopping all the time. A couple other people did some food shopping. Very nice. My next door neighbors, Aaron and Janet. Oh my God, Janet shaved me. She shaved me. She didn't bathe me, but she actually had this waterless shampoo. She washed my hair a couple times, but I'll get it next time because I couldn't shower for like a month. I had to take sponge baths. So we'll get into that. We'll get into all that good stuff. So until next time, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California. Grateful to be back in my studio apartment.